You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I'll let Bobby Warsaw tell me how I did it.
I think he's the philosopher of football.
I'd like to have some more derbies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it a lot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS Studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle. 12 days till CONCACAF Champions League. The fever is coming. Your temperature is rising. You might want to invest in a new television, and 23 days until Major League Soccer. But the big news today, guys, we can't, no banter, no BS, no Kane talk, no nothing.
2 hours since the CBA was signed.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's when we're recording this, yeah. But when you're listening to it, it's 6 hours after a new collective bargaining agreement was agreed between Major League Soccer and the MLS Players Union. They have agreed on a CBA from 2020, that is, right now, through 2024. That's 5 years. It expires on January 31st, 2025. Checking the calendar, checking my watch, thinking back to historical precedent. What was the historical precedent for the CBA the last two times around? Well, it was right up to the deadline, to the very, very last second this time. 3 weeks to spare on an agreement. Congratulations, I just want to say, to both sides. We, like everyone else out there who loves Major League Soccer, we're waiting around, watching intently, wondering when will this get done? How will it affect what we all love, which is the soccer? And it won't.
Having a job.
Having a job. That's everyone loves that as well. So I think both sides have big reasons to be happy. Both sides have kind of said in their public statements that we understood each other better this time around. They started meeting about 2 years ago. Negotiations were in earnest, let's say, this summer on. But there was an understanding about priorities. There was an understanding about initiatives. There was an understanding of maybe where each side might give. And here we are. Signatures on the dotted line.
Here we are.
Apparently that trip to, I just want to say, before we go any farther and give you the details
Stop.
Here.
It's Don't talk pretty... about rural Kansas.
You knew.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're about to say. You're about to talk about the GM getaway.
Exactly, man. That's where deals get done.
You go Peter Vermees' backyard.
Yeah, man, out of the rolling hills. I'm assuming the Flint Hills, because, come on, you're not going to like...
Oh, yeah, everybody knows the Flint Hills.
Beautiful. Yeah. Just such a great place to come to an agreement.
Flint,
to...
Michigan?
No.
Flint.
Flint Hills. Do you understand what Flint is?
Yes, I do.
It's a rock that's easily chipped that comes in like sediment that, you know, oftentimes is used to start fires.
Yeah, no, I've heard of all that.
There are many hills of this
Do you
variety.
Still use that in Wichita to start fires on the
I
daily?
I do on my chimenea in my... In Sam Stachel's backyard, I should say.
Right.
All right, let's get to the details here. Spending increases. That has happened. We knew it would happen. It's kind of along historical lines, which is about 6.5% per year. This is mandatory spend. In 2019, it was $8,490,000. In 2024, the final year of this new CBA, it will be $11,643,000. Now, that is the salary cap. That is general allocation money. That is mandatory spend. That is about $600,000 per season. Bonuses are also up. Benefits for the players are also up. Those are good things. They like those. Also, minimum salary is up. Senior roster players in 2024 will have to make at least $109,000. And reserve roster spots.
Sorry,
will,
I don't think that's right.
What? Senior roster players in 2024?
No, it's available spend, not mandatory spend, on $11.6
million. Well, that's with discretionary TAM,
yes,
which exists as well. Look, there are...
There's a lot of numbers
there's
going
tables
on.
Out there. Go check them out, MLSsoccer.com. The Athletic is doing good coverage, as they always do.
Oh,
on this
wow.
Sort of thing.
Early plug.
Hey, you know, Sam Stachel took over my lease. So just as I owed
with,
him...
With GAM or discretionary TAM?
Did you charge him a broker's fee? Because that could
that's
be illegal.
Now seems like it's illegal. I did not, but I really should have considered
Lumlord
discretionary
Weavy.
TAM or GAM. But the good thing was is that Sam had the discovery on
it.
The apartment.
So you didn't have to trade for anything.
Right, so I didn't really, you know, couldn't really negotiate with anybody else on that one.
Total spend at the low end by 2024 looking at like $9.5 million, maybe a little bit more than that. Available spend $11.6 million
plus DPs. So
plus
you can
DPs.
Go way
plus
over
DPs.
That.
Yeah. Plus, they're way down at the bottom of the agreement. There is a under 22 player initiative that's beginning in 2021. Sources say that like that has not entirely been fleshed out, but it's looking like an initiative that's designed to bring more Ezekiel Barcos.
Yeah.
You know,
Matias Pellegrini's,
Diego Rossi's, into the league,
or maybe even on the homegrown side too.
Right, right.
You know, maybe it's a Paxton Pomacle, maybe it's a David Ferreira.
Well, maybe it's making sure that
push down their cap number.
The next Gio Reyna stays in MLS till he's 18, and then gets sold to it.
Oh, we're going to talk about Gio Reyna, by the way.
Yeah, we will.
We are going to talk to Nani. He has an incredible story that he told me in Los Angeles about how he became a professional. And it's not like, oh, I was the best player in my region. Everybody wanted me. It was, I literally ran through the rain in jeans and like a button-down t-shirt to go to a training. They sent me home. I waited a year. I came back. I grinded. It's an amazing story. I'll let him tell that because I probably shouldn't. Alejandro Pozuelo also will stop by from those LA trips, as well as Bojan. So those are coming back to the CBA. That 1.2 in TAM that every team got, now it's GAM. So that's where some of this flexibility comes in, and the players wanted that, and I think ultimately everything that happened here, both sides agreed to.
Do we want to expand on that and clarify? Because it's
no, he's running through it, and then we're going to get to
okay.
it.
Yeah. Okay.
So the discretionary TAM, as spending increases, goes down, but it's still 2.8 in 2020. Free agency is now different. Instead of 28 years, it's 24 years or older, and you have to have 5 years of service. So that basically doubles the available pool of players that are now eligible for free agency, and there are now fewer limits on compensation. There are still compensation caps, but and maybe I'm still kind of digesting this, going through the legalese, but I look at this and I think, okay, so if I'm under the max salary charge, which is you can check out at MLSsoccer.com or wherever where they have this information, I can now go basically anywhere within that range. So I don't have like, oh, it's only 5%. It's kind of based on whether you started underneath the max salary, were a TAM eligible player, were a designated player who are also now eligible for free agency. There's a lot of sort of limits, and we will see as time goes on how those are in practice as opposed to just kind of down on paper. Charter flights, 8 legs required in 2020. You have to do it. A leg is one flight. It's one way. That will rise to 16 in 2024. So year by year, it's +2 every single year. And remember, there are 34 legs of away travel per year for MLS teams. But all CCL and Audi MLS Cup playoffs, that's required charter. You got to do it. There's no like, will we, won't we, is it, no, you have to do it now. So that's cool, and that's good. That also ought to help on the competitive front. This is maybe the most interesting part, and then we'll dig into the minutia here and kind of talk through it. Media deal revenue share. For the first time, player spend, salary cap, and GAM is where this money will reportedly go, will be tied to, in 23 and 24, the new media agreement deal that MLS will negotiate and sign that will begin after the 2022 season. Here's the way this will work. Whatever the number is in 2022 that's coming into Major League Soccer, add $1 million to that. That stays within ownership. Anything above that number, let's just say it's $100 million. Let's just say it's $100 million in 2022 is a TV deal. And then you add $100 million. That's 200. Let's say the next deal is for $300 million a year. The players would get 25% of that will go into the salary budget or into general allocation money, both of which are mandatory spends.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be, let's say, $25 million that would be distributed among the teams in that year. And that would up your mandatory spend. So that's a big deal, and that puts both sides on the same side of the table, basically, in these media rights deals, and saying, we got to get the most money possible. Not that they weren't already on that spot, but there's now skin in the game for the players, and the league clearly thinks that that is important to have everybody pulling to the same place, essentially. So that's the like long and short of this. I know that was a lot of information. So
yeah, we have it on the front page of MLS.
Yeah, go read through it, sort of think through it. Let's just start here with you guys. What is the and again, we got much more to come here. We got a news dump in MLS, the preseason result that kind of mattered. Piatti looks like he's gone. Interviews. Susanna's going to come by and we'll talk about the forward 25 jerseys. But this is the news of the day. What do you care about the most here, Doyle? What stands out the most to you, at least?
Well, first of all, just the fact that it got done this early, it really does suggest that both sides were very, very happy with the deal. And obviously, as fans, first and foremost, I'm thrilled that like there's not going to be a delay. Like, these teams are obviously going to have completely clear heads going into CCL and then going into the season, which is that's the biggest thing. From a player's perspective, free agency, getting it down to 24-5. Now, it's like slightly restricted free agency in that you can't go to a $2 million deal, but you can go to, if you're on a rookie contract, you can go from, say, 150.
You want to just call this like the Julian Gressel bump?
Yeah, exactly. You could go from 150 to the max salary plus 25K, which I think would put him at about $650,000 this year, if it had worked out like that.
Which it's, is like what the Tim Parker deal.
It was a Tim Parker deal. Miles Robinson could, you know,
Walker
ended up
Zimmerman.
Yeah. So, like, that's it's huge because I think it works for players who are already in the league and it works for players who are coming into the league. And it shows how much I think the powers that be value the talent that we have here, be it via homegrown or via the draft. I think that, like, to me, that's the massive. Like, that is the big thing to take away from that. I also think it's going to make, frankly, it's going to make the offseason much more interesting. MLS's silly season is fun.
And getting to be more fun.
And getting to be more fun. But, like, unlimited free agency signings per team and more free agents, more good free agents out there, you know, bidding wars, essentially, like, that's dope. I want to see that.
Bidding wars with a cap.
With a right? cap.
That's the yeah. big caveat that remains here, and that's where you see negotiation. Each side has priorities. Yeah. Each side needs to get something out of it. And again, as you go through this, you can see in large part what both sides got out of it with the, you know, the common goal of growing the pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know the board. We know for at least on the player side what their major sticking points were coming into it, and it felt like the owners and them met halfway on all of those points, which is nice. It wasn't zero here and 100 there on any of them. The other thing that stands out as a fan, I think, is the flexibility. Changing all of the TAM into GAM and then it slowly growing, the salary cap growing is TAM did a really good job of bringing players from outside the league into the league. Now owners have the, GMs have the ability to do whatever it is they want, whether it's re-sign their own guys, sign other guys in MLS, or sign guys. You can still continue to use that money to sign guys from outside of MLS. So it gives them more flexibility, which is really nice when you see what's happening, I think, in the league, which is teams are choosing to structure their teams in different ways. They're trying to build differently. It started with what the Red Bulls did. Now we've seen what Atlanta does. We don't really know what Miami will look like. This allows teams to be unique, I think, a little bit more. And so for a fan, it's going to be nice to see, hey, my team's a team that really likes to double down on our own guys and re-sign our own guys. Maybe a la what a Dallas will look like.
That's what I was thinking.
Where another team goes out and says, we really like bringing guys in from Colombia, from Argentina, and from Mexico at this age.
The realities of our market, our situation, our growth pattern. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have an academy that's churning out what FC Dallas' academy is doing. So we're obviously going to spend our money on different things. We don't have a Paxton Pomykal who we can say, yeah, this guy is both from an investment perspective and a first-team perspective, a $500,000 player. Like, we can't go get that guy. So all of a sudden, those doors are open. I am with you on that one. The mandatory versus discretionary and who's eligible for those pots, the switching of TAM to GAM, I like that. It's flexibility. I think it gives us more of an ability to look at decisions that are made by GMs or by sporting directors and say, okay, that's a little bit more along the lines of what you are trying to do, and we can judge you on that, as opposed to you're hamstrung by these certain ways that money has to be spent.
Yeah.
We need more of that. We need more of an ability to kind of see behind the glass and say, okay, that's why they're doing it. This was successful. This wasn't. Also, now knowing how much GAM teams have, like it's in the chart. Like, you know.
And I think
apart from selling players, maybe, or trades,
right.
Now those are public too, so we can pull that in as well.
I think that's huge, and I think it will be an interest driver for the league. We see it with the Premier League, we see it with La Liga, we see it with the Bundesliga, we see it with the NBA, Major League Baseball with the Mookie Betts thing. Like, the moves you make in the off season are like they're almost bigger than the season itself. Like, there's complaints in the NBA right now that people like the off season more than they like the regular season, and I think that is an important. It's going to be an important driver of interest in MLS during these months when there's just not usually a lot to say about what's going on. So opening that up, making it clearer, and frankly getting like getting more people to care about it and then to understand it, I think is huge.
Absolutely. I also do like the under 22 player initiative, which, by the way, it's not finalized. This is all sort of like, I have that underlined twice in my notes here. It's all like waiting for the final I's being dotted and T's crossed. But the general idea I do also like, because I think this league, and Commissioner Don Garber was very clear about it, and the teams I think are starting to figure out how they want to do it, has to become a selling league to continue to grow, to reinvest back in the rosters, to justify the academy spending that's happening. And I think that will come. But this is basically like a little bit of a cheat code to say, we know where we want to invest. It's kind of in the sense that TAM was,
exactly.
We need to rise these roster spots. We know to compete with Liga MX, we've got to do this. Well, they know that they need to sell players. And who do you sell? You sell young players. So let's incentivize our teams, our clubs, our GMs, our sporting directors. Let's make sure that they're thinking along these terms of, I need to go find prospects. Not because just I'm going to sell them at the back end, but because now I have a roster mechanism where I can gain an advantage if I get good players in that spot that both contribute to my first team and as well turn into long-term investment.
Yeah, absolutely. TAM had a specific purpose, and it worked in that purpose. And now this is another plan to try and move it along, which is, as you said, bringing in young players. And young players are difference makers. Young players can be starters. Like, this isn't just sign a bunch of young guys, see if their value increases, and sell them. These are guys who are going to start for your team and be a factor, and it gives leniency for teams that want to use it more, want to use it less. We also don't know
who have great scouting departments.
Well, I was going
to
say,
that's my advantage, and maybe I don't have the ability to use it.
MLS teams have invested so much in scouting over the past 3 or 4 years relative to what came before, and then so many teams have hired either sporting directors or GMs or technical directors who, like, don't just have networks in South America and Europe, but are actually from South America and Europe. So the next time, the next time you're scouting, looking for a Miguel Almiron, maybe you don't get him at 22 when he costs $9 million. Maybe you get him at 19 when he costs $900,000. Like, that's what this is about. And I think it's, like, ideal for MLS to create a potentially gigantic new revenue stream by getting these guys at a younger age, playing them, developing them as players and assets, and then flipping them and starting the process, reinvesting, doing it all over again.
And we've talked about it in this show over and over and over. To get the price of your assets to rise, those assets have to have a certain level of success. They have to justify the investment. And if you're now sort of incentivizing more of a numbers game to sell, you're saying, okay, we have a bigger pool because every team now gets these three additional sort of spots to focus on. You need that. It can't just be a kind of scattershot, right? Like, you can't throw a dart twice a transfer window. You have to have some kind of critical mass of players going out into other markets and proving themselves so that the players that you're going to invest in the future or you already have see their values rise.
I'd also say, and we've talked about this a couple times, but in terms of doubling down on investment, so you talked about Barco, but Barco is a designated player.
Right.
So he comes in as a kid. Now you'll have your DPs, and then they can come in and play alongside veteran players who sort of can help carry the load. It makes life easier for these younger guys and probably allows them to be more successful at an earlier age, which once again rises their transfer fee, allows you to sell at a higher level.
Let's be clear here. This one is not yet done.
No.
It's not, and it's, if it does happen, it won't begin until 2021.
Right. So there is some time for teams to sort of wrap their minds around this and push forward on it, and maybe time to build out,
more infrastructure, find a few more targets.
Get the right targets as well. And DPs, we should also add.
Yeah, I was about to throw that.
Yeah, that the league, this is the wording in the press release, the league will have the right to limit the compensation for the third designated player. Now, we've sort of heard these rumblings to the maximum TAM salary, unless the player is 23 years old or younger, in which case there will be no limit. So that is sort of a Barco application there. Mm-hmm. You could fill that spot in with Barco, and his number is going to be higher than TAM just on transfer fee amortization alone. So that's, again, another sort of encouragement to spend on a asset who's also a first-team contributor, maybe even best 11 potential.
But different than how we'd heard it rumored.
Yes.
Because it doesn't not allow you to sign a guy over that. It just affects the number you can spend on it. So you can't go out and get Jovinko, Josie, and Bradley. But
maybe you can.
Yeah, maybe you can.
In this world, you can, because Michael's a TAM player.
Now, but you do have the ability, like Seattle did, to go out and get a third designated player over the age of 23. It's just a more restricted spend on that spot.
Okay. Before we get to Nani and the news dump, of which there is a lot of things. Nacho Piatti might be leaving, and I'm not emotionally prepared for this. I don't get to say goodbye. Anything else you want to just sort of wrap into this conversation? We'll obviously accept any and all mail on this one, 401-206-0MLS, extra time at MLSsoccer.com. Email us that way. Anything here that needs to be sort of reinforced? Anything here that you just think is deserving of a little bit more oxygen?
We could throw a little mention in there that the minimum salary that players can make will increase heavily over the course of this CBA deal. So a senior roster spot, the minimum will end in 2024 as being $109,000.
And if you're a Jack Elliott type, there are bonuses built in as well. Like that's one of the things that the players union has actually talked about, the amount of money available to their players via bonuses.
Now, if you're thinking bonuses, what does that mean? We're talking about play bonus. You played in a game. Roster bonus. You're on the 18. Team win bonus. Playoff bonuses. Starting bonuses. Regular season bonuses. Like all of these. Like, hey, I play a game, I get X amount of money. That comes in. That was already there, but it seems like the union in particular is saying we feel very happy about the increases there.
So yeah. So it just,
if you're a low draft pick and you hit, or you're signed from USL on a minimum deal and you win the job.
Mark Anthony Kay is a good example.
The entire Red Bulls roster basically is a good example. Like there is more money to be made. So it's kind of a betting on yourself type of incentive for the players. I think that's pretty good to
be. And I think one of the things we felt when we saw these numbers is it's probably also market value for what these guys are worth.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's nice for the players, and I think it's nice for the owners to operate that way. And it probably goes back to the original point that Doyle made of this deal got done pretty seamlessly, pretty quickly, because it felt like everyone came to the table with ideas and they really met in between on all of the ideas up and down.
Yeah, there were not the moments of uncertainty that we've had in previous CBA waits, because look, we're not in the negotiation room, so I'm not going to say it's like we're just sitting around waiting.
Yeah.
Seeing what the details are going to be, seeing what the two parties agree with. I'll end it here. I really think that this media revenue sharing agreement,
that's the big one,
is massive, because you potentially are talking about a huge influx of money straight into the mandatory spend, salary budget, as well as GAM, if that TV number can get to the point where basically everybody wants it to be, right? We all know that the growth of Major League Soccer and professional sports are just built on this model. Comes down to what people are willing to pay for your TV rights. And so, look, now the players and the league are on the same side of that table saying, what do we got to do to get this into a place where not only is it going to be good for the bottom line, but it's going to be really, really good for the product on the field? There is more money to spend. There is more ability to go out and make a splash in the markets that MLS is starting to make a splash in. There's just more. And we know how important that is and how much it raises the quality of the league. We've seen it over the last couple of years. So I'm really excited that that was something they were able to come to an agreement on.
And last one I'd throw in is on the free agency, 24 years old, 5 years in the league. That says to me something that we see a lot, which is guys who were homegrowns that can't get playing time or aren't on the right team, you can now go out and be a free agent and find the right club.
Before you're like prime.
And
too.
You don't have to leave Major League Soccer.
Correct.
So if you're a guy, there's a random example, but Henry Wingo, who we saw leave MLS, guys like that, Harry Shipp had it, and eventually, although he came out
of the
draft.
Wingo example.
Yeah. At 24, if they're not getting the playing time, if they're not in the right system,
think about Diego Fagundes.
Well, I didn't want to talk about a guy who is still a part of plans at his team.
Yeah,
but like, yes, 100%.
He's like, I think, an obvious example.
He would be a starter on a lot of MLS teams, especially for guys who maybe get taken out of the academy into the professional team under one coach who leaves. You can then go maybe follow that coach to a team where he trusts you. So I tip my cap to, obviously, the veteran players who led these negotiations to have the foresight to push for future players' rights who it won't affect them in the end. I thought that was great, and I think it'll improve the quality of American players and Canadian players because it'll give them better opportunities at a younger age.
And that's where you like the flexibility that a lot of this brings. And I've said this for years, and it goes exactly into what you just said, which is this league will be better when more players have – and teams, it's not just players, it's both sides, have the opportunity to get the players that they think fit what they're doing. And players have the opportunity to look around and say, that's the right situation for me, that team wants me, that team's going to use me in this way, and their career grows because of it. We just, the last thing we want is for especially domestic American and Canadian players to just kind of be in limbo situations where they can't get on the field. They'd be good enough to do it elsewhere. There's not an incentive for anybody to move them, so they're just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
And look, I think we're going to get to 90 right now, but I think I could speak for all of us in saying, yippee, the focus is on soccer now. Yippee, we can dive into all the, you know, legalese and numbers stuff and salary cap BS that we love. And, you know, I don't know if you guys do, but this is what we
they
sit around and talk
They wouldn't be
about.
Watching this show.
That's fair.
And we will do that, but we'll do that after Montreal or Seattle win CCL.
Woo! That's a good segue. Nani, on how he made it as a professional, an incredible story. Take a listen right now.
Michelle, good play by Delamaya. Nani takes it to the right foot, back to the left, Nani!
Ten minutes with Nani of Orlando City and many places before. Everybody knows you, man, and we could talk about so many things, but I want to talk to you about how you made it, how you got this far. In the U.S. and in Canada, we want to produce world-class players. We want to produce Nanis. So take me back, and I'm just going to choose an age. Let's say 8 years old. What are you doing? What are you dreaming about? How do you get here?
At that time, I was just walking around. I think I start love the football when I was 7 years old because of my brother. He was great that time playing with his friends, and he wanted me to follow his steps. So he was teaching me, but I was not really paying attention for football. But one day, because of a friend in the school, he asked me, "Yeah, you are very good. Why you don't come train with me in my club?" I said, "Yes, I can go. I can go with you." He said, "Oh, yeah, but the only problem is I go with my father, and we just have two seats. We go in the moto. So you can go by walking, but it's a little bit far." I said, "No, no problem. I go." And I had to go from Amadora to Ribolera.
For those of us who don't know,
like
how far?
From one train station to the other train station.
Yeah.
So next to the
tracks.
The tracks. I was walking, but it was raining a lot in that day. So I was running
yeah.
With shoes and jeans and like a shirt with
the buttons. Yeah.
And I arrived there and the guys were laughing. They asked me, "So, what do you want?" "I just came to train. I'm a friend of Sabino. He asked me to train, but I need the
boots and kid. Yeah, I mean,
train." And he said, "Oh, we don't have. We cannot give you because we just give to the ones who are already in the club." But I said, "Okay, no problem. I have a short under the jeans, so no problem." And I took my jeans. I keep my shoes and my shirt and. I went to the beach, and then all the kids were laughing to me, and they say, "Oh, what a ridiculous, what this guy is doing." And then my friend was very upset and say, "Hey, what are you laughing? What are you saying? This guy here is very fast. Nani, sprint until there and show them." And then me, "Hey, you see, he's very fast." And they're still laughing, making jokes, and the coach called the guys who was already in the team to one side and the ones who was doing tests to the other side. And I was doing tests with the other kids, and the coach straight away saw me. I took the ball and started dribbling everyone, and then the coach said, "Oh, you are very good, but how you come like this? You need how you go now back home? You need some socks and some clothes."
Something dry.
And, yeah, they tried to help me. They give me something dry. And they told me to come back. They will help me with a lot of things. But was far from home. I had to do this every day and no conditions to go.
How far are we talking?
It's like 45 minutes, 1 hour.
Just walking each way?
Walking, yeah. Walking, maybe 1.5 hour.
Oh, boy.
But running.
Oh, yeah, right. Hey, man, you get, that's how you get fit, right?
Yeah. But and then I give up for 1 year. And one day I was walking in my bairro, in my street, and I saw like five friends was going with the bags in the back. And then I asked, well, where you go, guys? Oh, we are going to train in Massama, Real Massama. If you want to come with us, come on, join us. And then I said, oh, maybe not possible. I have to ask my mom. And they said, oh, it's okay. We just pass in your house. We ask your mother fasting, and we go. And we asked my mother, and my mother said, no, you cannot go. It's too far. No, 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 no. I don't want you to go with these kids. And then I said, okay, man, it's just here. It's fast. I go, and I come back with them. Said, no, 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 no. And then I say, okay. And then I go out.
Yeah. You do what you had to do.
And then I went with them. And happens the same. I trained with the kids. And the middle of the train, the coach came and said, hey, come with me. Let's go down. And then, so what happened? Just sign here your name, and then we talk later. And I signed, and they keep me. They said, okay, do you have the document? I said, no, we need to, my mother is doing the papers work. And I said, no problem, we're going to work that, we're going to help you. And they helped me, and from there...
I mean, you make it sound easy. From there,
yeah,
Sporting and Man U. I mean, that has to be. That's an amazing memory.
Yeah.
When you think back on that and how far you've come and what everything that you've done and you've accomplished, I mean, it's those little moments, right?
I could stay here like one day telling you
the whole
stories,
thing.
Yeah. Stories. It's never been easy for me. Every time something looks easy, something's go wrong. I need this, or it's not possible because of this, because of that. So even when I moved to Sporting, it was not easy. And I was not supposed to stay in the team. The coach told me, yes, it's not possible because we have already a player of your age, and the old player is going to stay for the second season. So it's not space for you. But what we can do is you can come here, come back on the preseason, and you can train with these players, and then you come back more strong to your team. And then I didn't want to be rude with the manager, and I said yes. And then I come back on the day, I train, and then after 1 month, they changed their mind because I improved so fast.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, I knew you're going to stay. I said, what?
That's not what you said to me last time.
I knew you're going to stay here. Really? Yeah, don't worry, keep training, how's you doing? We are just working with your team, and then all are going to be good. And then I was so happy that day, didn't believe.
And here you are. So before we have to let you go, I'm curious what your advice to other kids that are listening or thinking or hoping or wondering if they can one day, maybe not be Nani, but be someone who is someone in this game. What's your advice?
Yeah, what advice is we have... the proof of a story, a real story. Me and my friends, we went together to Sporting Lisbon to do the trials, and my friend was studying a lot. Me too, but I was very focused on football, and we didn't have money to take the train to go every day. And one day I asked my friend, let's go. He said, no. They don't pay my ticket. I don't have money. I'm not going. I said, there's no problem. We go without money. We try. We run away from the ticket man. And he said, no, I don't go. Today I don't go. I said, okay, you don't want to go. And this player, my friend, they was paying attention more to him because he was better than me. No,
mm-hmm.
Everyone was saying he was more strong, more fast on that time. He stay home. I keep going. At the end, I stay. I become a professional footballer. And him, he went to small clubs. Every time mm-hmm. going down, because when you go to the small clubs, it's difficult. And probably today, he. he feels sorry for that decision because he didn't push or try.
That one day.
Yeah, that one day, you know.
That one day. That's great advice for young people out there, for all of us, honestly. Nani, thank you so much for joining me, man. I would have sat here and done this for an hour, for two days, just to get all these stories out of you. Maybe one other time, all right?
Yes, thank you very much. You. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
How can you not be inspired? You know, Nani has this kind of, I don't know. On the field, sometimes he can look a little stone-faced.
Uh-huh.
A little uncaring. I didn't know what I was going to get out of that interview.
Oh, you were scared of him, is what you're
saying. I wasn't scared, but I was afraid that maybe Nani would hit me with what I would expect from sort of like European soccer stars, which is...
I've never heard of you. I don't know who you are.
Interviews in my life. I don't share the intimate parts of my life because that's just not the way it works there. And then he sat down and he like basically ripped it open for me.
Tell that story.
Yeah, I mean...
But now he lives in the most magical place in the world.
Right.
That's true.
So he's just happy.
It's an eight-year-old's dream.
Yeah, it's Charlie Davies' dream.
It is Charlie Davies' dream. Charlie Davies, by the way, will be back. Just not until week one, or after week one, I should
say. He's currently still in Disney World.
He just lives in Disney World
for a month, so he can't make it back.
Here is your preseason result that mattered. Kinda. Minnesota United 3, Charleston Battery 2. Hassani Dotson with a goal. Robin Ludd with a goal. Nice goal, too. And then Thomas Chacon, speaking of young prospects with potential sell-on, got the game-winning goal here. And so it was a good result for Minnesota. Yeah, whatever, whatever. But really, I use this to get to this news, which is Adrian Heath says, the process to sign Boca Juniors star Emmanuel Reynoso is, quote, ongoing. He took encouragement, did Adrian Heath, from Reynoso being held out of games the last couple weeks with Boca, despite the fact that they have a little bit of a numbers game going on with the squad. They don't have as many as they would like, let's say. Mark Watson has been in Argentina trying to get this deal over the line. They are saying there's kind of a date that they're looking at that they wanted to have it done by, and that date is now approaching, whether that's like real or negotiations, whatever. Sign Reynoso, please. We can't make it happen, but... damn it, I'll try to speak it into existence, because if they sign Reynoso, I mean, that's the Major League Soccer that I want to be a part of.
If they sign Reynoso, there's multiple things going on. One, if they sign him, I would argue they've had as good an offseason as any team in MLS, because I don't think they've lost things of heavy value from last year that they haven't replaced or increased.
Maybe the goalkeeper of the year, Vito Minone.
For sure, but once again, and we've discussed this on the show.
Aiko Parra was the goalkeeper of the year.
Yeah. And it's the most replaceable position in MLS. On top of that, they lost Darwin Quintero. If they bring in Reynoso, who's 8 years younger.
I'm feeling like if they make a final, Reynoso might play in it.
Yeah, I would agree. You would hope he's a starter.
Making some assumptions there, but I think there's
You added Chacon last year, so you give him time to settle in if this goes down. And then Angelo Rodriguez wasn't a go-to starter for your team, so... even if,
and you brought in Luis Amarillo, kind of a like for like.
And even if Amarillo doesn't give you more, Mason Toy being the starter for the year is probably better than what you were getting from Rodriguez. So I don't think they lost anything. But one of the things we talked about before we came on here is just like where MLS is. A few years ago, when DC signed Lucho Acosta, and you were like, wow, this guy's 22 from Boca Juniors. The league is changing. Gonzalo Verón, a young guy, has played in Copa Libertadores. Like, this league's never going back to what it was. To go from that to Reynoso is a lockdown 24-year-old starter for Boca Juniors, and Minnesota United is going to bring him in late in a transfer window to change their team. Like, this league has jumped in the last few years, and that is one of those stark moments.
I mean, he's a $10 million player for the arguably the biggest club in the Americas. He's a playmaker for Boca Juniors. Just saying, the playmaker for Boca Juniors, if you followed soccer at all for the past 50 years, you know what. You know what that means. And the fact that it's not like Minnesota United's not a glamour club. He's not being linked to the Galaxy here. This isn't, you know,
it's not same old, same old.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, at LA Minnesota, always get everybody.
And this is part and parcel of what we've seen in MLS over the past couple of years. Well, really the past 12 months, like 15 teams have set their record for new transfers. Like Columbus Crew spent $8 million, I think it was, on the playmaker from Tigres, which was the club of the decade in North America. You know, like, FC Cincinnati went out and got a 26-year-old who sold for $20 million 2 years ago, was on the fringes of the Dutch national team. These are players, if one of these guys had been signed 5 years ago, Simon Borg would have had us do three straight months of content just about that player. Now it feels like it's happening every week.
Oh, and by the way, and to keep going on this trend, like a little bit younger, like, and Luis Almeria is another one. By the way, he's a Vélez player. He's been on loan. He led Ecuador in scoring. Like, he's 24 years old. Congratulations, Minnesota. But LAFC go out and sign like half of the CONMEBOL Olympic qualifying teams, and we don't really say much about it. We're like, you know, Jose Sinfuentes.
Atuesta is wearing the armband for Colombia. Segura is a starter. You know, like Rossi, I think he's got two goals so far it's wild.
It's great. It's beautiful.
And then they have two guys in Palacios and Rodriguez who, like, Ecuador and Uruguay aren't even using them for the U23s because they're too good. They're full national teamers already.
Decent. Decent. You know, we're excited, but now time to bring the mood down just a little bit. Nacho Piatti, pictured in the locker room via the Twitter account of the San Lorenzo president. And the rumors are looking more like reports going straight from Stashkul to Tenorio. Sorry, Sam. Oh, I'm hoping that's the last one I make on that reference.
No, that'll never die.
Like, that Dave has driven it into
That'll
me.
Never die.
He's driven it in.
Hey, I let you call him Bird Dog.
That's true. That Nacho Piatti is headed back to sort of the club that has his heart. And we've talked about this on the show, all the rumors. Right now, the rumors are that Montreal would get back in return 80% of the rights of Emmanuel Maciel, who's a 22-year-old central midfielder. Hasn't got a ton of time in the first flight in Argentina. And then next year, maybe, that's, again, reports. We don't have anything official here that Nicolas Fernandez, a center forward who's 23, would arrive a year from now. At Defensa and Justicia, he had about 10 goals last year, and he just made the move, I think, before the last season to San Lorenzo.
Which is the one thing that's too bad about this from a Montreal point of view is, like, they don't have a ton of cap flexibility this year. Their attack's kind of locked in. Fernandez would have helped them upgrade at center forward where they need it. I'd say in central midfield, they're pretty strong. At least they're starting 11.
That one feels like a depth, and see what happens.
So it's unfortunate that it's not flipped, because then they would actually get some use from it this year. But everything we've heard is Piatti had already kind of settled himself towards going to Argentina. His family is back there now, so it makes sense. Also, San Lorenzo is the team of Pope Francis, so if he wants to be sainted, if he wants sainthood, he has to get there again to win another trophy for them.
He had to leave right before the Libertadores last time.
Yeah.
So he needs, I mean, sainthood is for life.
Look, Tapa's back.
Everything.
Okwonkwo is back, and he had a nice season for them last year. He definitely has double-digit goal potential. Lapalainen, I think, has double-digit goal potential. Urruti has double-digit goal potential.
Left wing is not a problem for Montreal.
Correct. There is some questions up top, but I think between Okwonkwo and Urruti, you feel like you can get through, and Bojan a full season. It sucks, though. Let's talk Piatti. Let's not talk about the future. Let's talk about Nacho.
Are we giving him the farewell already?
Yeah.
Are we sure this
Should
is
we wait before
Should we give him the farewell now?
No, let's wait, because we've been down this road before.
Yeah, once or twice.
That's fair. That's very fair. Nacho, I love you. Don't leave us. Kevin Baxter.
Producer Anders, by the way. Sorry, producent in Swedish.
Wow. Yeah.
Says that we'll do a full Piatti episode appreciation whenever he does.
Mm-hmm. When officially leave. I mean,
Well, one day he'll retire.
That's true. Bad news for LAFC and their CCL campaign. Kevin Baxter at the LA Times reported that Bob Bradley confirmed that Adama Diamande fractured his fourth metatarsal in his right foot in the NYCFC preseason game. He will miss the CONCACAF Champions League games against Leon to get it started.
Me too, man. Me too.
And he's also going to miss the start of the MLS
season. Of the fifth metatarsal guy myself. But anyway, please continue.
You're commiserating with him right now.
I am.
You know exactly what.
Fourth metatarsals are for the young.
Yeah, true.
Fifth metatarsals when you're an experienced veteran.
They're going to have to use some of their newfound salary cap relief to get the man a cane. I mean, this stinks because at their best, I think LAFC were at their best when Diamande was on the field last year.
He can do things that nobody else on the roster can do, and I include Carlos Vela in that. Carlos Vela can do everything, basically.
No, he can't play center forward
that. Diamande had some goals in the playoffs and leading up to him where he just basically like got the ball in a tight space and was like, nah, screw it. I'm running through you en route to a goal here.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with LAFC, because we all kind of thought that Diego Rossi was going to be sold, and it looks like that's not going to happen this window. Yeah. Though I believe the transfer window is still open in Italy. And
I thought that one closed, which is why the Anthony Robinson deal.
Oh, you're right. Italy closed, England closed, but yeah, there are a couple in Europe that are still. Well, anyway, it looks like Rossi's still going to be there. Brian Rodriguez, also a DP, obviously still going to be there. Carlos Vela, obviously still going to be there.
So do you think that the playoff experience from last year changed the idea of start Vela as a false nine and let him float and maybe start Rossi as a false nine?
I was just going to say, why not just push Rossi up into that?
Because that's not what he did last year when Dio went out. So I wonder if they felt it didn't work or the ball didn't fall their way.
I mean, the other option is you still bring one of the two younger ones off the bench and you sign another center forward.
Whoa, I'm not BWP's, here for Danny Musovski.
BWP's been, yeah, right. BWP's been in camp.
But apparently has left.
He has left?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
but you could bring someone back in.
But maybe now's the time you say, okay, well, actually, now we need you.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what Bob Bradley and John Thorington and Will Koontz and that club does.
It would go against who Bob Bradley is, I think, to bring someone in to start at that spot for these games.
I think you're right.
It would go to what he does, which is I trust all these guys.
Yeah.
They're my guys. I can figure it out with them. And it would be not. I thought playing Vela at the nine wasn't the right decision because I actually thought it took away some of his threat because he had that inability to run at guys. And he still floats off the right wing. But Rossi is a field stretcher. I mean, he's just pure speed. If you can get him to just run the line a little bit and move defenders a little, it seems like the most natural replacement.
You'd like to see Rodriguez then replace some of the like goal dangerous aspects that Rossi brings. Mm-hmm. And he didn't necessarily do that last year, though he had flashes where it was like, oh, he definitely can. And of course, we saw it against the U.S. We'll see what L.A. do. Our CCL preview episode is going to come on February 17th. Charlie Davies is a late ad for that one. So it's the three of us and Charlie Davies nerding out on CCL. I cannot wait for that one. Inter Miami are not in CCL. Paul Tenorio says the Rodolfo Pizarro deal might get over the line soon, that the personal terms have been agreed, but there's still the buyout to figure out. Just FYI, trying to drive some traffic right now. Got a column at the site on Inter Miami. Basically why I don't think they should worry about not having all the three DP spots filled. First of all, they were waiting for the CBA stuff, I assume, to shake its way out. Second, why rush it? Get the right guys. Don't fill a spot that you can't unfill when you're Inter Miami. Except and when the summer comes, you can get whoever you want.
But they've said they will use them.
I know they have. So I know they have. It looks like they're going to use the second one on Pizarro if that gets over the line. Every indication.
I'm just saying, don't tell fans to be upset that they haven't when they were the ones who came out and said, we will fill all three spots before the
season. I'm saying don't be upset because it might be the best thing for your long-term roster build. But look, I was on the side of the camp that was like, we're getting Galacticos, baby. David Beckham's Rolodex, South Beach, Miami, new club, the Moss brothers and the ambition. I thought we would. Maybe we will. Maybe it'll be the summer. Maybe we aren't
so
reading the tea leaves right.
Just to throw this out there, if you want to sign a game-changing player at that level, the summer is easier.
100%.
When they are out of contract and their European team can replace them. If you are looking in January, you are looking at guys, it's and this limited. Isn't a knock, at Cavani, who aren't starters with their team right now, which may not be what they want in that role.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, we'll see. TBD. Sounders announced they have signed the defender that we've been talking about for a while, Yaimar Gomez Andrade, TAM signing, from Union de Santa Fe in Argentina. He's a tank. From all
El Tanque.
Yeah, he's
a little Cascadia clash between tanks.
Yeah, he's a big dude. So that should be a good signing for them. Nico Ladero, though, this is not good. Returned to Uruguay to be treated for a tendonitis issue. He's going to rejoin the team in Mexico. So you hope that doesn't last long term. But it seems like they are not too concerned about this. He wants to go to Uruguay to have it treated. Got to get it handled. So go down there. Join us back in Mexico for preseason. Adrian Regatin. We talked about him in relation to FC Cincinnati. He's been out of contract. I think basically his Turkish club got relegated and weren't paying him. So, yeah. But he has more than 100 games in Ligue 1. He's goal dangerous at times.
Remember
he's
before the show started the where I asked you all to mute all of your things?
Yeah, I got, you know, notifications on the phone.
Who even puts their phone on volume anymore? You're literally my mother right now.
I don't.
Yeah, if your phone makes any kind of noise, you are just an old
person. It is embarrassing.
Not like that. I guess I flip
my phone is so broken, I permanently leave it on Do Not Disturb and just ignore the entire world rather than have alerts go off.
Worth noting from FC Cincinnati in the preseason, Kubo, the first DP they signed, Yuya Kubo, he's been playing on the left wing, it seems, and then drifting underneath. So it looks like he'll be one winger, and then
Reguetin will be another on the right, probably. That's where they see him, maybe centrally, but when you watch his highlights, most of his goal dangerous moments come from the right.
And then our guy Loca.
Yeah, our guy Loca.
He'll be the center forward.
Yeah, it's a big change.
Big up, Loca.
It's a big change. We'll see about the 10. Jared Nykamp says it used to be, he said it used to be a need, and now it's a wish.
But you said it with Madunian as a deep-lying playmaker, and then now with the firepower they've brought in up top, just have guys who cover ground. Alan Cruz is going to be one of the starters in there. Just use a second guy like that. Just cover a ton of ground. Win second balls off front line. Yeah. Cover space.
Frankie Amaya showed some stuff last year. He has a chance because they haven't brought anyone in. He has a chance to prove it this preseason.
He started with the first team, I believe, on Wednesday. Yeah. So that's a good sign. Pablo Piatti. Different Piatti. Mm-hmm. He plays for Espanyol in France as a winger. He's Argentine as well.
Espanyol
linked to what did I say?
Spain.
I said France.
Yeah. You know, common to name yourself.
You know, whatever.
This is a guy who fits exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for a playmaker on the wings.
The club. I don't know if I said that as TFC. A confused France and Spain.
And they have said that the DP spot that they opened up with Michael Bradley, they'll use on an attacking player. They've called it a 10, but that doesn't mean anything because Pasuelo can swing in those spots. Piatti is like a win now signing. He's 30 or 31.
31, something like that.
Feels a little Victor Rodriguez.
Which makes sense with where their roster is and where their big name players
are. Also, he's a dude that I've loved watching play all these years, so I would be pumped if this happened.
And that's what's important.
And that's what's important.
Some homegrown news here. Our number one homegrown on Extra Time, Tom Bogert. His sources say that Winston Reed is not going to happen for Nashville. Nah, but Aaron Schoenfeld might come back from Israel.
I'm Israel Chai.
Yeah. All right. Time to take a listen to Bojan. Got to sit down with him in L.A., so take a listen to that. We'll be back to talk about the Forward 25 jerseys with Susanna Collins.
Still going from distance. It's spectacular from Bojan as Montreal take the lead in Toronto. And the former Barcelona man fires in a spectacular first MLS goal.
10 minutes with Bojan. Everybody knows that name. Montreal Impact. Welcome to the league. Happy to have you.
Thank you.
What were your experiences last year?
Great. I was... It was good to come here. I came in the end of the season, and was good for me to know the league, to know the team, to know the club. And now I'm happy to start the season from the first day, preseason. And days like today, you know, that you feel that proud to be in the MLS.
Do you feel that the break is too long for you? We hear people say that all the time. Well, there needs to be a shorter break for the players. And I heard somebody the other day say, actually, I like the break because I can actually relax with my family and I get more than 2 weeks to see them.
Yeah, well, for me, it's strange because in Europe, you have the break is short, but you have in the winter, you have 1 week, and during the year, you have maybe 3-4 weekends that you don't play, and you have 3-4 days. Here, you start the season, preseason, and it's long season, you know. So, 3 months is a lot, but I prefer to play football. I prefer to be with the team, you know, but you need to enjoy if they give you 3 months.
And when you get back, you'll be with Thierry?
Yeah, we already started the preseason.
How do you feel about that combination? A guy that you know from your career has now made the transition?
Yeah, strange for me the first days because he came in Barcelona my first year, and it's the first time in my career that the coaches was a teammate, you know. So, but it's good. I'm happy for that because I can learn from one of the biggest players in the world, and not only me, the team. To have him as a coach, it's important for. To build a good project.
What do you remember from your time as teammates?
Yeah, I remember him when he came in Barcelona. He, for him, also was a big time because he used to play in Arsenal, where the fans, the journalists are completely different, you know. So he came in Barcelona and everything was crazy. The fans, the journalists every day. And yeah, with me, he was close to me every time in the dressing room, on the pitch. He take care of me, and I really appreciate that.
Who was your biggest influence within that dressing room in Barcelona? Who was the person that you were the closest to or who you took the most from that you've kind of carried on?
Yeah, Thierry was one of them. Iniesta, Piqué. The players, what I know of also, you know, when they were young.
What were the lessons that you learned? What were the things that you still think about, the things that you might pass on to younger players?
Yeah, it's, I learned a lot. Actually, you know, now, so when I start playing in Barcelona with 16, you can play, you're ready to play football, but you are not ready to hold all the pressure that that is around you, especially out the pitch. And now the young players, I think they can feel the protection for the team, for his teammates. And you understand with your personal experience. Someone can say to you, listen, don't do that, don't do that. But I think you need to do it without advice, because you learn when you miss something, when you say, oh, I'm wrong, I need to change this.
When you're 16 and you walk into a locker room, I don't feel like there's any comparable for a citizen, you know, a non-professional soccer player. Like if I'm 16, I'm more than likely not going to walk into, say, you know, a job where it's just me and a bunch of 30-year-olds at the very top of the profession. It has to feel like a shock. Did it feel like a shock to you to walk in there? Did it feel like a natural progression in your life? This is where I'm supposed to be. I belong here, and it's not weird.
Yeah. You mean in the beginning?
Yeah, in the beginning. Yeah. I mean, 16, when I was 16, I wasn't mature enough to handle that sort of situation.
Yeah, I understand what you said, but it's like when you feel in love with one girl, you don't choose this. No? If you feel in love with 16, 17, and you are with this girl 10 years, and someone say to you, oh, man, that age, you need to enjoy, you need to, you know. Yeah, but like, what I can do if I felt in love with a girl? You don't choose these things. This is the same. So when you start playing with 16, 17 in a professional football, you don't choose this. You play, you enjoy playing football. And the football chose you to put you there, you know, and you are prepared for that.
What do you make of the soccer here?
What
as you, the tactical side of the game here, the physical side of the game here?
In MLS.
In MLS, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a league where it's growing. It's a competitive league, good teams, good players, good managers. It's a league that you feel the ones that are involved on the league, they want to grow. They open to understand better football. They want to learn, and that's good.
CCL, CONCACAF Champions League. I love it. It's bizarre. It's weird. You'll find that out, I'm sure. You got games coming up quick. Yeah. The Impact have a history in this tournament.
Yeah.
This is not UEFA, but it's our version. Have you thought at all about the opportunity there? Have they talked to you about that in Montreal?
Yeah, we know. We know that is important for us, for the club. We achieve good trophy last year that it's giving us the possibility to enjoy this tournament. Like you said, it's coming early. We have like in 10 days, 3 games, 2 CONCACAF game and the first game on the league. That's why we are training already, preparing ourselves, not only for these games, but for all season, that we want to be a competitive team. We want to be a strong team.
All right. Thank you, Bojan.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to a full season of Bojan. Whoa!
Matt Doyle.
Change.
Looking good.
Whoa, that's an able-bodied, not Matt Doyle. That is
no
Susanna
cane.
Collins.
No cane here, fella.
How many metatarsals do you have, bro? Okay. Because if you have one, you're
all
still better than him.
Yeah. All intact, you guys. I'm very happy to report.
Is it 5 metatarsals per foot?
That would make
I think there might be six.
Might be six.
Should have paid more attention in anatomy.
So I'm going to say there's at least minimum 30.
Oh, you think each metatarsal? I don't think
a metatarsal
is just like
what a metatarsal is. Okay.
I think metatarsal is one of those fake things they made.
We're still trying to get our hands on these jerseys. We want them. We would like them. I am, let's just say everybody knows that they were out a little bit early
via
alternative sources, and you may have gotten a sneak peek, which we also got. And when I got the sneak peek, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, these are pretty good. They're all right. There's some that I like more and some that I don't like very much. But after seeing them from afar on actual human bodies, I'm just going to say it. And you might say, oh, he just has to say this, but I don't. That I really like the Forward 25 jerseys. I actually think that the stripes work on the vast, vast majority of them. I like the throwback to the early 90s. And you can remember the U.S. men's national team kits that had these. I think it works. I like it. I wasn't at the Forward 25 event. I had the invite, but had a...
That makes you even cooler, though.
No,
you were like,
I don't think it does. You were like, he went out of his way to say he was invited.
Like, it was a hot ticket. Like, people were trying to get in. There was a massive line, and like Weeby's just like, nah,
Well, I was I was scrubbing red sauce off a child's face at that time. Did you know I have a kid?
Also super cool.
Of the childhood... thing that I raised. I thought I was, but I guess I'm not. Tell us about the event, Susanna, and then we'll get into kind of rating our jerseys on top of the heap. Just fine, and not personally my thing.
I don't want to give you too much FOMO.
No, give it to me. Was it a see or be seen sort of thing? Was it a like, I'm
okay,
too cool
this
for
is my,
school thing?
This is, I have been working at MLS now for 4 years. And
congratulations.
Thank
Muzzle
you. Top. Thank you. Mm. This is going to be my 5th season.
Wow.
That's like, crazy.
So you're actually, you could be a free agent at the end of this.
I could be. Thank you. Boom.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll take 15%.
I was a free agent on the previous CBA term.
It was so good. Yeah. That was so good.
You're old.
Yeah.
No, you guys, this event was awesome. It was huge. This venue was massive. Where the actual fashion show was this like gigantic space, and then there was like a party space as well. And this, it was packed. When I tell you that people were lined up around the corner to get in, and like people were having trouble getting in and asking if they could like help a fella out.
And Susanna knows because she walked right past those people.
No,
straight
can
into the door.
Do you want to hear the funniest story? I got in. So I was having trouble getting in. I was there with Jillian Zakovitz, and we were kind of doing like a behind the scenes sort of vlog. And we got there, and the person checking in was like, oh, I don't see your name on this list. And I'm like, I know, I've seen emails where my name has been on a list. And she's like, we're going to have to go check. You're going to have to go wait in that line. And we were like, what the heck? Gary Stevenson walks up behind us.
And
he
was and then you big time.
And then
them.
he was like, ladies. And I was like, Gary, we can't get in. And he was like, what? And he was like, no, he's let them in. So Gary Stevenson muscled us in. We walked right past the line. We got our credentials. It was great.
You turned to all the people in line. You said you want to get in.
Call us. I see what you did.
Gotcha.
It's a good.
Here for this. Sorry, I just.
No, it was going back to my point. Like it was like in 2016 when I first started working here. There's no way that MLS would have had the bandwidth to pull off an event like this of this size and. To kind of see where we are now and how many people showed up and how many people care and wanted to be at this event was really awesome. And it was a packed house. It was a young, hip, diverse crowd, like all sorts of folks there. The people that they had walking in the show, like DeAndre Hopkins.
Boom, legend.
And, seriously. I mean, and like Colin Hanks and I mean,
Ninja.
Ninja.
I mean,
Dude
sort of,
Perfect.
Yeah, different
it was like, it was, yeah. they hit every
when I first saw the
note.
List, it seemed random, but then when it was all together, it felt like there was sort of a method to that madness. It was like, okay, well, we hit a lot of different places, a lot of different sort of profiles, and everybody seemed to be like really into it, which was the whole point of modeling the jerseys.
It was great. The jerseys looked sick. I honestly, like, the fashion show itself was really, really cool. Right. It was very well
produced. What was your big, I didn't realize I'd like it this much until
Columbus.
I saw it in purple. Oh, really? The black one.
Because I'm skeptical.
Who was their model?
My girl, Katie Witham. Who, can I tell you, I saw her before the show, and she was kind of like, she's like, I'm a little nervous. And I was like, you just got to own it, girl. You know, like, just, and she did this little hair flip.
Oh.
Killer.
Everybody had the signature moves.
Killer hair flip. And I know she listens to Extra Time. So Katie, my girl, crushed it. But
life, Katie.
The Columbus kit, the jersey, when I saw it online, I was kind of like, ooh, there's a lot. What is this pattern?
It was busy.
What's going
on? Felt a little bit busy.
And then when I saw it in real life, it looked dope. Like, it was really, really cool.
So we're
person.
Borrowing a call-up term here. And if you don't subscribe to the call-up, you should probably remedy that. Jillian Sackovitz, Susanna Collins, other Monday, right?
Every other Monday.
Yeah, so it's like a little bit of a snack. And of course, you get Susanna right here on Extra Time as well.
Woo!
Let's just go with starting the jerseys that you are here for.
Here for.
I am, and you only get three. Your okay. top three.
Oh, I like
warn
this.
Us.
I know, I didn't warn
I like
you.
This,
I, just
I, like this, I like this, I like this, I like this. Oh my gosh, I like this a lot.
Number, my first that I'm going to throw out there is the Philadelphia Union kit. I love the sort of hand-drawn snake. I think that the golden shoulders
yep.
and the navy blue really, really works well. I love that look. Yep. I think it's
okay.
very cool.
That Am was I going one next?
That's on my
yes,
list.
Go. Minnesota United. With
yes!
Mm-hmm. Shout out to NASL.
They do it
the,
right.
Yeah, the I love the gray. Like, they it's so it right. smooth and the little bit of touch of blue.
They
so
do
I'm
it right.
for that.
Love it. I am here for the Red Bulls. The black and red.
Oh, the Sith.
That is
the Sith
best
kit.
It is so fierce.
Yeah.
It is so fierce.
It definitely feels like a little bit of like Darth Vader, like
yes.
Darth Molly, or maybe like the Uber stormtroopers that
great.
They have. I just think it really fits with their sort of like
looked
personality
great.
As a club as well.
Imagine you looked up and the full supporter section had those on. Like, that's intimidating.
That's
yeah,
super
there's an
yeah.
intimidation angle there,
that's
too.
That's a look.
I am going to, because I don't want to steal one that I think that you will probably like, Dave.
No, go say whatever you want.
Okay, I like FC Dallas. I think that okay. the hoops, and not the sort of block hoop, but the stroke, brush stroke mm-hmm. hoop, is really, really sharp, and I like the red top blue shorts combo that they go with, and the white short looks fine too. But that would be my second of the ones
like
I'm definitely here for.
I and like it.
Am I up now?
Your pressure is on you.
I like FC Cincinnati's
oh!
with the cut blue down the middle.
Heyo!
You've got opposite sleeve, matching opposite side.
Unexpected.
Hard blue down the middle, right
yeah,
there, right
that
there.
One. I like that.
It
feels a little bit like
it's fresh.
Not completely like, because the old Blackburn was the four quadrants. But kind of like the old Blackburn that I thought was really cool.
What are you bringing up?
Sorry, that was like way in my early days. Susanna, keep it going.
San Jose.
The city flag shirt.
Because it surprised me.
Yeah.
It totally surprised me. I was like, wait, what? And then I'm looking at it, and I love the, it's got that really great, like, retro-y throwback feel. I can't remember what jersey you said this about, Goss, but it was such a good point. In a few years, this is going to be like,
oh, yeah.
Super cool. Like, it'll be like a great throwback because it already has that.
I think
feel.
It was the RSL one
yes.
that I was saying that about.
Yeah.
They have the yellow shorts, which I also really
yes,
enjoy.
Yes, love the yellow shorts.
And my final here for this selection is going to be, you stole my Cincinnati shout. Look, I
want help.
Sure, why not? But I'm not going
to
take it. I'm going to pull it right back from here now, and I'm going to say the Colorado Rapids, especially with the blue shorts. I saw Kai Kamara tweet out that look.
Mm-hmm.
With the blue shorts, I think it's one of the most iconic, just like classic great. Looks in the league. Yeah, that's going to be.
And I don't think we've said yet the numbers, which we've seen.
We've said it over and over.
Oh, the numbers look
are sick. So, that adds to it.
Anders says we're chewing up time.
Can
here.
I say like four right now real quick?
Go.
I always like
just
Vancouver's
cover.
I always like Vancouver's color.
Vancouver's done.
I like what NYCFC had done with the texture.
Yep.
Less into that one.
Montreal's is class.
Definitely into that one.
And then I was going to finish on, outlier, really like this Houston jersey.
Oh,
I love this black and orange texture.
It's not for me.
Nope.
It
same.
Looks a little bit all like when you're day. Growing up and it's the book that you have to stare at and kind of like
and in person, Weeby, it's even more jarring.
Yeah, it's like, a lot. Now, I do like, the RSL one. It's a competitive advantage,
yeah.
this Houston Dynamo one. Confusion will reign on the field.
Susanna, you had one more that you have to go with.
One more. I know. I was going to go Vancouver, but you kind of stole it. You know what? I'll go with Portland because it's classic. I like the collar. Jack Jewsbury rocked it yesterday.
Ooh.
He looked great.
After he got a Sparrow slice.
Yes.
Messed up. Look, in people who were yelling at us about the Chicago Fire one, they did not have their new identity in time for the creation of these, which you probably know by now takes about 2 years. So that's why they do not have an EQT jersey. These are available at MLSstore.com. Go check them out. We will continue to try to get our hands on them and rock
also,
them on the show.
Anyone that has a black one, aka LAFC and Inter Miami, hit me up. Let me know.
Yeah, those are the sweat. Those are the sweat.
I need that black jersey.
Now, I really like, and I do like the Inter Miami one. It is black, but it has the kind of herons jumping out. Yeah. And I like the pink on the sleeves and the pink sock maybe down the line.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that had they flip-flopped it and made it majority pink with the black accents,
missed opportunity,
it would be just fire. But that may be coming, you know, maybe next year. Who knows? They're working on those jerseys right now.
I think they should lean into that.
Okay, I did like Toronto FC's too. Sorry we didn't get out a shout or your teams. Let us know what you think. Hit us in the mailbag. Alejandro Pozuelo.
Like
that was my transition. Alejandro Pozuelo, a little chat with him. Best 11 in his first season in the league. Let's take a listen.
It's Pozuelo. Pozuelo!
Ten minutes with Alejandro Pozuelo. Alejandro, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
How is your English?
Yeah, now a little bit better, but not perfect.
My Spanish isn't perfect either, so maybe we'll trade a little bit. Okay. Tell me about this journey to come to Major League Soccer, to Toronto FC. How did it happen? What was so exciting about being here?
Now everything good. From I come here, from the first day, the people also in the city, the people in the club, everything is perfect. So the welcome here. The league also, I think the more difficult in the league, the travel, you know. It's long travel sometimes and difficult for play with different time. But for the moment, everything is perfect.
Why now for you? Why did you decide that this was the right time in your career?
I don't know. I have 28 years when I come here, 27, and I think it's my best moment for show what I need to do. So I think also the project from Toronto, I know when Jovinko leave, the difficult thing from Toronto for help with the other player. So the project they give me, I want to do my best from Toronto. So I think this is my best moment.
How much responsibility did you feel? Because Jovinko, a massive player for Toronto FC.
But I don't feel like a responsibility because we play in different position. He play number 9. I play more like number 10, like midfielder. He play more in attacking. So when I come here, when I speak with the president, with Ali, with the coach, he told me the same. You don't play in the same position, so don't need to be this responsibility like Jovinko. He scored a lot of goals. He play in different positions, so play what you want, play like you feel, and for the moment, it's okay.
I still remember the first game you played. Yeah. How can you forget that game?
Yeah, I cannot forget, for sure I cannot forget, because it's a dream. Because when you come to the new team and you play in this week, because I come Saturday and I think I play next Saturday. So only 1 week with the team, and the coach give me this confidence. And it's amazing. The first game, win 4-0 against New York. I scored 2 goals. So,
and the chips.
Yeah, 2 chip. Yeah.
When you see that how do you see that opportunity? Tell someone who has never done that in their life and never will to know that this is the moment.
Yeah, I think the moment exactly is perfect, because when I come here, my first week, everybody look at me because I'm new. First game, penalty. Normally, Josi need to shoot, but he give me this confidence. He told me, no, you are ready. I say, okay, no problem, I can shoot. So I think this is the moment for show something. And I think also for the goalkeeper, it's difficult for him if he stay in the middle. I think he need to choose left or right. So I think the best moment is this one.
Go for the Panenka. Why not? And yeah, then we do it again later.
Yeah, again the same keeper, because I remember I missed one penalty against him also in when we play in New York, and in playoff he gave me the same opportunity. So also the good moment, because I know it's difficult. He stay in the middle. He want to shoot left or right. So.
I see you smiling a little bit. It's got to feel good to do that in a game of that magnitude.
Sometimes you need to show something, you know. If you miss, okay, you can miss also if you shoot left or right. You can miss, of course. And sometimes you need to do something, yeah.
What do you think of the league from a tactical perspective? How does it compare to Belgium or La Liga or the other places that you've been, Swansea, the Premier League?
Yeah, it's difficult. Difficult compare the league, because in Spain and England, you know, England is more physical, more attack, different, fast. And here is more like you can take the ball, you can play, other tempo, you know, because the pressure when you play in Spain on the Premier League, you have the pressure to go to second division. Here you don't have this pressure. You play for win, you play for go to the playoff, but you don't have this pressure like you need to win because we can go to second division. And this pressure in Europe is more difficult.
You went to the final, almost won. Seattle Sounders got their second title in 3 years. Best 11, a great season for you. Yeah. I'm also curious who you thought the best team you played against was. Who were you most impressed by?
I think Atlanta. When we play in Atlanta, I feel like this is a very good team. And also the atmosphere. We win there in playoff. We win the final. But we have no lucky. But we have some, a little bit, I don't know, the
un poco duro, sí, a little grit.
Yeah, so I think Atalanta, they have really good team, and I think they do good this year because they have good players.
Josie, you, Michael, Toronto FC in 2020, what are your expectations?
Yeah, I expect like in 2019. I think we need to do the same. We need to go to the final. First, we need to go to the playoff. This is the most important in the league. And after, play and enjoy. And if we can go to the final again, this is the moment for a win.
Do people call you, your friends from Spain or Belgium, otherwise, and say, what's this league like? Should I come?
Yeah, of course. A lot of friends that play in Europe want to come to play here in MLS, because I told you in 2, 3, 4 years, the MLS will be one of the best league in the world.
All right, we'll take more Alejandro Pozuelos.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
No
man.
Problem. Thank you.
More magic to come from Alejandro Pozuelo in Toronto FC this year, maybe with another DP. We shall see on Pablo Piatti. Let's get into the mailbag. We've chewed up all the time with CBA as well as jerseys and the news dump and everything else. Monday, we have a long list, don't we, Dave? 401-206-0MLS, extra time at MLSsoccer.com. We're kind of rushing. It's Brett from Kentucky is going to get the stage today.
What up, Kentucky?
What's the, do you want me to read it? I guess.
Yeah, you can read it. You
already started. Brett's coming in hot. He's real hot. I guarantee, he says, that Jurgen Locadia, I'm assuming the Kentucky that he's from is the one that's bordering Cincinnati, just across the river. Jurgen Locadia scores more than Chicharito in 2020. Here for this. Here to help Brett get a little bit dose of reality. What do you think? Does Jurgen Locadia have a chance of doing this? Will he do it?
Yes, he has a chance, because I think he's going to... What did we put it at? 12.5?
12.5 we put it at.
And I went over on that?
Now look, to get 12.5 more, the over, he would need to have his deal extended, which would cost FC Cincinnati a large sum of money.
Yeah, but if he's... Right, but if he's scoring goals,
they probably will exercise it.
But I think Chicharito is going to go over 20 this year. So I think Locadia can, but not because Chicharito is going to struggle. That means Locadia will have like a huge deal.
Does PK
huge year?
Does PK responsibility matter here? Does Chicharito get the PKs with Pavone and Katai?
Yes.
And yeah, Chicharito gets those. So he's going to rack those up.
Yes.
Yeah. Locadia, would he get those with Kubo and Regatin and maybe
a 10?
You assume so, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He also, I think he actually scored a PK for Hoffenheim like a month or two.
Oh, he
back,
did. Yeah,
even
he
when
did.
He was there on loan.
Yeah, he did.
So clearly he's good at
that. So he's good at that. What do you think, Suze?
Analysis.
This way out there?
Sorry, Brett. hate to break it to you, buddy, but yeah, no, ain't no chance.
Probably. He's probably going to be on that side too. Going to just go ahead and say Chicharito. I think it's Chicharito in this case, but I do think,
sorry,
as I said before, Jurgen Lokadia plus 12.5. I'm over.
Mm.
I'm over.
Shout
on that
out
one.
Big Blue Nation,
John Trainer on the Revs. We've got you in here. Mike from South Carolina. We've got you in here on Stoichkov. Bill Carroll,
Risto?
The legend. Yeah, Risto. Bill Carroll talking about how he's actually not that disappointed and kind of happy about the Red Bulls offseason. He's here. Eric in Fort Worth, you're here as well. Dean in Columbus, or Dan in Columbus. Let's do this one. What do you think of the Will Trapp to Miami trade? From the Columbus perspective, I was initially disappointed, surprised by the price. But the more I think about it, I don't think it was terrible business. Trapp, final year of his contract, unlikely to resign. Miami taking on the full salary on the budget, and Porter has a bunch of depth there. With this move, Columbus has roster flexibility, and they can add reinforcements, and Miami get Will Trapp. Dave, you've been, I think, the most bullish on this one.
So I don't disagree with any of the reasons. I just think they could have gotten more. I still contend. I understand it's the last of his deal. He's a captain in Major League Soccer at 26
didn't
who
they,
plays for the national team.
Didn't they say, though, didn't they say that this was in conjunction with Will Trapp, that they basically did the player sort of not a favor on this one, but they knew what he meant to Columbus, what he'd meant for the club, and so they said, hey, where do you want to go? We'll make it happen for you. We don't want to eat the $600K because we have players in your position that are going to play over you.
Once again, still think they could have gotten more.
Okay, but isn't
now this... it may have changed because he might be a free agent after this year now with the way things are structured.
Yeah,
so
be.
That changes things because you
some
have less
math.
Control, and also it changes what the allocation is worth as we go through this new CBA. And I don't have a problem like sending him to Miami. I don't think it matters that he stays in the East and all that stuff. And I think it's a good pickup for Miami. I like that move. I still contend, though, that you look around the league and he would be a starter locked down for like 6 or 7 teams. So where was that opportunity to get them all in a room or get them on the phone and say, this is what we're getting from Miami?
Maybe that's reflective of the market. Because had to be other teams calling if they were interested. So that's what the deal is. I like Will Trapp to Miami as well. Yeah, that's it for us. We will be back on Monday with much more, including a whole lot of your mail. By the way, we are working on something very special for the mailbag to come in the future. So, yeah, I guess that's a tease with no details. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Classic, what do you mean?